Good morning. How are you all this morning? Boy, it's starting to feel like winter's nipping at us, isn't it? I got my 30 miles in this week. So, are you all doing your exercising? And huh? Do what? You all kind of look down? Do what? Well, we're going to make it though, right? Yeah, we're going to do this thing. Okay. Last Sunday I had Zeta. I wanted to share this with you guys. I had Zeta and took her to see my mom. And on the way back, she said, "Come on, Papa, let's turn on some music." You know, cuz it was kind of quiet. And so I turned on the stereo, and there was Christmas music on there. And she goes, "Leave it there, Papa." And so she started singing along with the Christmas music, you know. We're going down 75, singing Christmas songs. Well, then this song came on. Oh, holy night, the stars are out and shining. You know that song? Doesn't that song touch you? It does me. So I turned it up, and we're driving along, you know, and I turned that thing up, and I look back, and Zeta, she's got her little hands in the air, and she's looking up like this. I said, "Zeta, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm giving God praises, Papa." I said, "That's the kingdom of God right there." 4 years old. You know, I said, "That's the kingdom right there." You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what, we're going to advance this kingdom, aren't we? All right. What have we been talking about? Vision. We've been talking about vision and seeing the kingdom. That's vision. And so when God, anytime you see the kingdom, your vision is becoming clearer. So Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. So we've been talking about, in this series, it's prayer and humility. So in order to really advance God's kingdom and bring heaven to earth, we are going to have to be in prayer, and we're going to have some humility, right? If we're gonna have humility, we're going to have prayer, because prayer is humility. You have to be humble to pray, right? And what's humble mean? Remember? Humble means, is the Hebrew word humus. And the word humus means earthy. And the word earthy means real. So when you break that down, it means you're down to earth and becoming real when you're humble and you're praying. The only way you're going to discover the real you is going to God to get it. And see, that's the number one reason why young people don't want to attend church, is because of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Their people aren't real. Are you getting that? You're going to hear me repeat that all the time. Because folks, God wants to create an environment where people are real. People are real. You know, you can feel it when somebody's real with you. You're attracted to that. We're attracted when people are being real. And so that's what God is doing in the church. He's removing the hypocrisy. And he's calling us to be humble. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, right? They're the ones that are going to become real. And repent of their wicked ways. I know I didn't finish it, but we can't. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm just making a point of being humble. And becoming real. So that is what God is calling us to. And it's going to take prayer and humility to advance God's kingdom. But if we're going to advance it, we got to see it. And so we're going to talk about vision again today. What's the word vision mean? It's the same word as revelation, right? So where there's revelation, there's vision, and they're synonymous. The word revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. So in other words, revelation and vision give direction to the church, all right, the people of God. And then it also means a prophetic redemptive uncovering, a prophetic redemptive uncovering. So when there's vision and there's revelation, there's a prophetic redemptive uncovering. Prophetic means it's proclaimed. It's being spoken, and it's uncovering something in your life to show you, the truth about you. You see that? It's showing you who you are, and it's redemptive. It's redeeming you back to what God created you to be, because what God deemed, he lost in the garden, right? So now he has to redeem it, and he redeems it through revelation and vision. So that's why it's so important to be in a place where there's vision from God and revelation coming out, because it's bringing you and helping you to see you and who you really are. Because it says in Lamentations 2:14, it says, your prophets have seen visions, false and deceptive visions. Therefore, they have not uncovered your iniquity, and they remain in captivity, in bondage. You see, where there's not a true vision from God, It causes people to stay in their old lifestyle. Remember, the iniquity is patterns that keep you in sin. It's not uncovering anything. But revelation and true vision uncovers things so you can make the right adjustments and right choices and go forward. Are we making sense? All right. Go with me to Acts chapter 26, and we're going to look at this one verse. And we are going to continue on. Therefore, King Agrippa, Paul speaking, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this place. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you do give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Father, continue to reveal yourself to us. You said that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Father, continue to reveal those things that you're calling us to by your Spirit today. Show us, Lord. Give us clearer vision. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. So Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What was his heavenly vision? Jesus said, and now I send you to Paul. He said, and now I send you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me. So that was his vision, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to... You know what? That's what a heavenly vision does. It opens people's eyes, gives them vision. It turns them from darkness to light. You know, if you're walking in the light, all right, if you're walking in the light, then the darkness in your life is going to be exposed. Your issues are going to show up, and others are going to see them if you're walking in the light. See, the more you walk in the light, the more the issues in your life come out. And sometimes that's painful, right? Sometimes that's painful. But if we're walking in the light, you're starting to deal with the dark, because the darkness represents ignorance. Ignorance of what God originated and intended your life to be. That's what darkness is. It's not a bunch of demons and wicked, eerie spirits. It's ignorance of what God created you to be. That's what darkness is. To turn them from darkness to light. And that's when you're moving into that direction, things are being exposed to you and others. Am I talking to the right people? And that's what vision does. And that can be painful. And so, but that's what true vision does. And so that's why we got to grow in our understanding of vision. From the power of Satan to the power of God. When you're connected to a real vision from God, it's going to bring power in your life. It's going to bring, because the kingdom of God is power, kingdom, domain. It's dominion. It's power. That's what dominion means, power and authority. In other words, you have power and authority in your life because you're seeing the kingdom. And Satan no longer has that power over you because you are becoming who you are, and you know who you are, and you have authority in your life, inside. We're living from the inside out, right? We're not looking at the things that are seen, but we're looking at the things that are not seen. That's vision. That's vision. So now, I'm going to talk about choices of vision. And I read this in a book one time about Helen Keller. And she was talking to, doing an interview with Walter Cronkite. Anybody remember Walter Cronkite? Well, she was doing an interview with him. And he asked her, he said, well, Mrs. Keller, he goes, you've been blind all your life. What would be worse than being blind? She said, to have eyes with sight, but no vision. She said, to have eyes with sight, but no vision. You see that? She understood vision. She was a leader. Books have been written about Helen. Everybody, when you say that name, you know who Helen Keller is, right? You've heard about it. She was a leader. She couldn't even speak. She had to do Braille and write. Are you with me? And she was a leader. That's because she had vision. She could see something on the inside. From the inside. That's what vision is. It's all about what's in you, right? And when you connect with a vision from God, you're going to see things from the inside out different. Your perspective is going to change. Your perspective on people. Remember we talked about seeing people and how important it is to see the value in others? When you start seeing value in other people, then you're seeing the kingdom. You're seeing the kingdom. Because, folks, we gotta grow in the way we see people. We have to grow. When you're growing in the kingdom of God and you're growing with a vision, you're going to change the way you see people. The way you see people is going to change because it's no longer going to be judging and critical and judgmental. There's going to be more grace and there's going to be more mercy, right? Now, because folks, listen to me. When you're connected to a true vision, you're going to be tested. It's always going to be tested for authenticity. A true vision is going to be tested for authenticity. What's our vision here? To build people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our vision here. That's our vision here. And I got that when I was reading, I was studying Ezekiel chapter 13 and fasting and praying because when I came here, I had no vision. And God showed me, I need a vision. And I started asking Him to give me a vision. And I was studying Ezekiel. And I was just, I wrote that down in 2 seconds. I mean, just a matter of seconds. And I knew that was the vision God wanted me to share and bring to the church. And so, it's so important to have a vision. And when you're connected to a vision, and you have a vision, it's going to be tested. And when you start bragging how much you love God, and you know what I'm saying? And you've got a vision from God, it's going to be tested, isn't it? Remember when Peter, I know I shared this, but I want to share something else. Remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has demanded to sift you. Satan has demanded to sift you. He said, but I pray that your faith will not fail. And then he says, and then you'll return to me and go and strengthen your brethren. So in other words, When Satan sifts our lives, all right, okay, what's happening there is he says that you sifted like wheat. What happens is we have to go through things for other people, right? We're going to go through things for other people. And what happens is, he says, then when you return to me, in other words, that then when you return to me, that era of your life he was sifting is now in the kingdom of God. And it's under the authority of Jesus. And now you're living that out. And you've returned to him. And now you got victory in that part of your life, that area of your life. And now you're really walking in what God has called you to do. And now you can go strengthen your brethren. You see that? But that sifting is the sifting of wheat. And in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat with the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. But the ungodly are not so, for they are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. Now watch this. See, when Satan sifted Peter as wheat, it's that chaff and the wheat is being separated. The wind blows in your life. There's storms come in your life to get out the ungodly areas of your life. You see that? And so only the fruit will remain. And the fruit is what God wants to use in your life. And God is only concerned about what he can use in your life. He's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about what he can use, get out of you. While you're on this planet, he's trying to get out of you what he created you for and what he put you here for. And that's why it can be painful. Am I making sense? But you know what? It's always worth it. When you get through it and you get to the fruit, it's always worth it because it's so fulfilling to bless and help other people. It's like, you know, this is what it is. This is why I'm here. And it excites you. It gives you passion and vision. And it just encourages you. Am I making sense? And so it's always worth it to go through the sifting. So it's important to understand that you're going to go through something, right? We're all going to go through things. It's painful. But you know what? When we're effective, when we're effective, it's fulfilling. Am I making sense? My mom, she has a chemical imbalance. And when I was a boy, they didn't have medicine for her. So it was really a hardship on our family, a real hardship on our family. But here's the idea. Now they have medicine. She takes this medicine, and I mean it's like she doesn't have this ailment anymore. They have come so far in balancing, you know, our systems out with chemicals. But here's the problem. And the medicine she takes is very expensive. And these little pills are costly. But the cost of those pills is not the ingredients that are in the pills. The cost comes from all the research and development that went in to making that pill effective in whatever ailment it is to help in. You see that? Am I making sense? So that's the way it is in our life. We've got to go through some research and development until we are effective in helping others in the ailment that they're going through and the maladies they're going through. Make sense? I'm trying to help us see it. So if you read some of these drugs, you read about some of these drugs and their side effects, you think, it may cause dizziness, may cause bowel movement in the middle of the night. You know, it's like you don't know if you want to take this or not because of all the side effects. But here's what I'm trying to show you. Even when you're effective, there are going to be side effects. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be pain. Even when you're right where you are, where you're supposed to be, there's always going to be side effects. Oh, do you hear this? So you're always going to have to deal with those little things. But folks, it's always going to be worth it. It's always going to be worth it. It's always going to be worth it. That's what I'm trying to show you, folks. And this is what vision does. It moves you when nothing else will. Now watch this. God said it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. That word alone means exclusive. Exclusive. To exclude. In other words, he doesn't want anybody excluded. He doesn't want anybody excluded. In his vision, when there's a vision from God, it includes everybody. In other words, when you get a vision from God, it's not going to be fulfilled. You're going to get a vision personally, but it won't be fulfilled privately. You're going to have some help in fulfilling your vision. I don't care what kind of vision you have. In your family, in your finances, in your relationships, you're going to need some help from other people to fulfill that vision. And that's what God does. God gives a vision to one, and it's fulfilled by a group. Always. I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's the way it works. Now, no vision you have from God will be fulfilled without us. Look at your neighbor and say, you need me. Come on, say it again. And look at your other one and say, and you need me too. God will speak to you personally, but you will not fulfill what he has spoken privately. Vision clarifies your purpose. Vision always gives direction. Vision takes courage. It takes courage. Courage cannot exist without fear. People say courage is the absence of fear. That's not true. Because where there's true courage, there's always fear present. Because the courage comes because of the fear. I'll tell you what, I get fearful at times when I see this church and I see the vision. I see the vision and I see where we're going. And fear tries to get on me, but it just makes me want to work harder and stand up taller and pray more and see. And you hear what I'm saying? Because, folks, we're going to have to buy some land, we're going to have to expand. Are you with me? We need more space. Well, it don't look like. Well, you see, if you don't see the vision, you hear what I'm saying? Where we're going, where this thing is going, folks, people are going to be coming here. We're building people, right? Not buildings. But when you see this vision, you're going to, you see, we got a picture of this land over here from the top looking down. Oh, I got excited just looking at it. Because, folks, we're going to need more space. And when we can see this vision, and we're part of it, this will help you get up in the morning. This will encourage you on the inside. This will birth other visions in you to bring health and wholeness in your life. Am I making sense? That's the power of vision. Vision is powerful. It's full of power. And when you see vision, and when you have a vision from God, folks, it moves things where nothing else will. You know what? I start thinking, look at the money this is going. You know what? Then God says, he's got plenty of money. With him, all things are possible, right? If God is for you, who can be against you, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We have a God that is more powerful than anything we can see. Are you with me? And when he's behind it, folks, it will happen. It will happen. And folks, I'm just excited about this idea of vision. Are you all excited? Now watch this. It's going to take courage. Courage. That's what he told that's what God said to Joshua. He said, "Only be strong and courageous." When he took the torch and he carried on the vision, he told Joshua, "Only be strong and courageous." Nothing else, only be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, right? But fear is going to be present. Fear is always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Any of you been experiencing fear? Get rid of it. Be courageous, right? Be courageous right in the face of it. Be strong and courageous. We don't have anything to be afraid of, right? Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, right? Now watch this. Wise people make wise choices. In Proverbs it says, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but he who walks with fools, he who is a companion of fools, will be destroyed. Now, the more you clarify what you are going to do, the less time you will have for other things. The more you clarify what you're going to do, the less time you have. You know what? People have accused me of being narrow-minded. Because you know what? Are you going up to that church again? Or what are you doing? Oh, I'm studying this word. Well, because you know what, folks? When you have a vision and you're connected to a vision, you start losing some old friends. Some people just don't want to be around you anymore because you can't relate. I'm going to tell you something. If you are going to fulfill a vision from God, you're not going to be able to just do anything and go anywhere and always hanging around with anybody, right? Your vision will choose your friends. Your vision will choose the people that you connect with. Always. Always. Vision inspires passion. Vision does not need a lot of external encouragement. When you have a true vision, you don't need a lot of external encouragement. If I waited around for you all to encourage me, I'd be in trouble. Huh? Now, I'm not saying that in a negative way. But I'm just saying, you see that. We can't wait for others to encourage us. When you have vision, and you're seeing it, man, something inside you just moves because you see it. And you know you know. You can see the kingdom. And it will move you when nothing else will. Now watch this. Vision sees things as they could be, not just the way they are. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. Difficult. Everybody say difficult. Difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Difficult. Folks, where there's a vision from God, it's going to be difficult at times. It's going to be difficult. But what's it going to produce? Life. That word life is the word zoe in the Greek. And that's the God kind of life. That's the God kind of life. That's the life that God created you for. And folks, there are going to be difficult times when you are connected. Folks, it is a narrow way to live when you live by vision. Is this making sense? Who said that? Jesus, right? Jesus is talking here. You're not going to be involved in everything because you're going to have a narrow way of doing things. You know, I read books connected to my vision. Everything I do is connected to what's going on here. Is this making sense? And that's the way we're created to live. We're created to live that way. Now, go with me to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at Paul. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 12 through 15. And this is Paul carrying out his vision. This is what he says. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing. How many things? One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I press toward the goal. How many goals? Goal. That goal was his vision. I press toward the goal for the prize. How many prizes? One. Not plural. Singular, right? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Vision, true vision from God, is you will discover your calling, what you are called to do, and your gifting, and the value that you have in you. You will discover that when you see vision. When you see vision. Is this making sense this morning? Vision controls your future. Remember, vision, where there's no vision, the people do what? They perish. Remember, what's the word perish? Without restraints, without self-control, and without discipline. So where there is vision, it brings restraints, it brings self-control, it brings discipline. So that's why, folks, vision will bring your finances in order. Vision will bring your relationships in order. Vision will bring your life in order. When you have a vision from God, it moves those things to the place God wanted them to be. Am I making sense? If you have a vision in your marriage, it's going to bring, and they both see it, it's going to make that thing healthy and whole. If you both can see it, but you both got to see it. It can't be one-sided, right? You both have to see it. If you see yourselves as getting healthy and whole, then it'll happen. Then you'll start reading books and going to marriage seminars. You'll do what it takes to make that thing healthy because you see it. If you can't see it, it's not going to be that way. If your finances are always in problems and you're not tithing, you can't see the kingdom. You see that? Because vision brings discipline and self-control in the area of finances. And tithing is one of the principles that God has established for the kingdom of God. And when you begin to operate in that, you're going to reap the benefits of it. Make sense? So vision brings control. Vision controls your future. It chooses your friends. And it also chooses your enemies. Vision lets you know who really loves you. Are you with me? When you have a true vision, you'll discover the people who truly love you in life. You will. Because they will be there. They'll be there. Peter, remember when the Sanhedrin, the soldiers came to get Jesus? And they came to get him, and what Jesus or Peter do? Cut off that soldier's ear. Cut his ear off. And says, you're not messing with my pastor. And Jesus put his ear back on. You know what that told Jesus? How much Peter loved Jesus. How much Peter loved Jesus. Remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? You know why? Because Peter was staying there with Jesus. You're not going to take my Jesus. You're not taking my pastor away. You know why? Anybody ever lie to be loyal? Who did Jesus say when he came back? Who was his successor? Go tell my disciples and Peter. Because he knew Peter loved him. Peter was the one who preached and the 3,000 were saved. Peter was Jesus' successor. Are you with me? Did you hear that? Peter, the one everybody, but Peter loved him. And Jesus knew it. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Oh, I like that. Not everybody else will see it. But when you have a vision from God, you'll know the people who are with you. You'll know the ones that love you. And that's the ones you're going to pass your vision on to. Because it's going to go on. True vision from God will always overcome death. When you die, that thing will carry on. Jesus said, hey, it's better that I go away, right? When I'm gone, hey, more influence is going to come. That's the way true vision is. True vision carries on after it has power over death. It will carry on because it's eternal. It's not physical. It's eternal. Now think about this. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me the people you hang around with, and I'll let you know a little bit about your future. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good habits. Bad company corrupts your good habits. The good habits you have, the people you hang around with, if they're not the ones God has called you to, then you know what? They're going to corrupt the good that you have. You're not going to end up infecting them. They're going to infect you. Vision chooses how you spend your time. Vision chooses the books you read. Vision chooses the book. If I went into your house and I began to look at all the books you read, I could tell you a whole lot about you just by the books you read. We should read books about our destiny. That's why I got a bookstore here. I don't have a bookstore here to make money. That's because I've read a lot of those books, and I'm trying to get people to cultivate some things in their life and help them to see this vision. Are we making sense? It's not about making money. It's about helping people to read. Folks, when we read, it changes things. Man, I can get a hold of a good book, and whoa, I can go somewhere with that thing. You guys experience that? Well, you should read the Bible. Of course you read the Bible. But you read books that are written from the Bible, right? Well, you hear people, well, you got to read the Bible. Of course you read the Bible. That's religious. You ever hear that? Oh, that makes me tired when people, come up with that. I read the Bible. I don't read a bunch of books. Well, go on and read your Bible. We'll see where you go, right? Because I'm going to tell you something. We can learn a lot from others and who others have journeyed where you're going. And that's what reading's all about. You discover things. People are strengthened. You see, like Peter, they're able to strengthen you because they've been somewhere when you read books. Now watch this. The more precise you become, the more you will irritate others. The more precise you become, the more you will irritate others. Because you have less time for them. You don't have time to sit down and go over the same problem they've been trying to deal with for the past 2 years. They're coming in with the same problem, and they want to talk about the same thing. You don't have time for that. There's some time, I tell Peggy, who's calling? So if you call here, hey, we'll make sure you get it. But I say, what do they want? Right? Because if it's the same person calling and coming in, I ain't got time for that. Right? Y'all still love me? I'm just saying how it is. You got to get to a point where you even screen what people, because people will come in with the same problem, or people will come in and want to gossip. Sometimes you got somebody wanting to come in and just start gossiping. I don't have time for that. Well, they'll get mad, and I'll say bye bye. Not. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. Am I making sense?
Well, you sound mean.
No, I'm not being mean. Folks, when you have a vision, it starts to focus your life. It starts to bring things into focus. And folks, it empowers you, and you got to keep going. You can't let these little take you off and distract you. Now watch this. God told Moses, now watch this. Let me tell you something, folks. This idea of judging and criticizing and being critical, we are in a day where you had better be extending some mercy and grace towards people. I'm here to tell you, because you're going to be tested. Your time is coming. And if you're pointing your finger and looking at somebody and measuring and looking for everything in their life, Your time is coming. I'm just here to tell you, every one of us, we're going to have a time. There's going to be a sifting. So we need to begin practicing mercy and grace towards others. Because, folks, that's what God has for us. His mercies are new every morning, right? And His grace is sufficient for our weaknesses. And I'm here to tell you, folks, this is what we need to practice. Because this is the environment we want to create. And we want people are going to be coming here from all kinds of places. And we want to be a people that build them up, right? Not help tear them down. We want to be a people who are real, where they say, these people are real. And that's what we're creating here, an environment that's real and where people can get real help and really move on in their life and become what God created them to be. Building people, right? Established in God's Word, knowing who you are, knowing where you came from, and knowing where you're going. That's the call. That's the call on this church. Now watch this. Vision chooses what you eat. God told Moses not to eat pork. Not to eat pork. Now I'm messing up some of y'all's lunch, but don't eat pork. Why? You know what? Pork, pigs can't sweat. So everything they eat stays in there. Just the meat absorbs it. They don't have sweat glands. That's why God told us not to eat pork. And I've got those books on arterial health. Pork is the only one that has this, I can't even pronounce this, a long name, but it lodges in your arteries and it stays there. There are studies of areas where there's high consumption of pork and there's heart attacks in that area where people consume a lot of pork. I'm here to tell you, there's a reason why. You know what? He says don't eat fish with scales. Without scales. Tuna. I love tuna. Man, I just read, not long ago that tuna retains more mercury than just about any of the other fish. So now, I used to eat tuna subs at Subway all the time. I can't even eat them no more. Because my vision, I want to live long. Right? Mercury is one of the leading causes of cancer. It poisons your body. Am I making sense? Vision chooses what you eat. Y'all aren't real looking excited right now, but it does. Yeah, you're thinking, good. That's what we want. We need to start thinking, right? Vision is the source of leadership. Vision is the source of leadership. Vision is reasonable. It's not fantasy. Vision is reasonable. It's not fantasy. Vision is out of reach, but not out of sight. Vision creates self-discipline. Vision is a result of God inspiring you. Vision will always inspire. It never manipulates or dominates. It never manipulates or dominates. You will never, you'll never see me telling you you can't go to a church or visit a church. I won't ever do that. And I'm not going to chase you because you got to want to be here. But vision inspires, right? It inspires people. Manipulation wants to control. Vision, people, God has not created us to control people. He created us to control the environment, animals, vegetation, never people. Never people. Where vision is, it brings inspiration. People long to be inspired. Never manipulation, right? Manipulation is a guy puts a gun to your head and says, kiss my foot. That's manipulation, right? That's the way, and that's control. They're using something to get you to do something. And that's not what true vision does. It's inspired. You want to be a part of it. You see it. You want to be in there. You want to go there. You want to be connected to that. Because it inspires you. It inspires you. Vision comes in phases. Vision comes in phases. If God showed you everything, you would not want to go there. If God showed you everything you had to go through, you would not want to go there. Because we got to go through some things to get there, don't we? Just like Joseph. Joseph had to go through the pit and the prison to get to the palace, right? Well, if Joseph saw all that, he probably would have ran. And that's the way we are. Vision is generational. It carries on. We're building something that your unborn children are going to be a part of. What do you think about that? Don't you like that? I like that. We're building something that your unborn children are going to be a part of. Now watch this. If what you are doing dies without you, it was not from God. In other words, when someone dies that has a vision and it doesn't carry on, it wasn't a true vision from God. Because when you have something from God, it will carry on. And you will have a successor. You will have somebody that takes the torch. And you will and the ones that love you. You see what I mean? All right. Now think about this. Here's the enemies. Enemies of your vision. The first one, disobedience. Disobedience. You can't be disobedient when you have vision. You have to begin to obey God. Now watch this. Sin. Sin is an enemy of vision. Sin is rebellion against the known will of God. It's rebellion against the known will of God. Discouragement. You can't be discouraged. That's one of the biggest enemies of vision, is discouragement. When you get discouraged, folks, it clouds your vision. It affects the way you see things. It affects the way you see. You know what the word discouragement in the Hebrew means? Blinded. In the Hebrew language, the word discouraged means blinded. It blinds you. Discouragement will blind you from seeing. You see that? So when you're discouraged, show up here. When I get discouraged and I come, shoot. I tell you what, I get stuff comes off of me. There's time, man, I just driving, oh, here we go. I just don't feel like coming. I know none of y'all feel that way. But you know what? When you're connected, stuff comes off. Don't it, Emma? It does. Now, come on, give me some. It does. When you get in the right where there's true vision, it stuff lifts off of you. Discouragement will blind you. It will keep you blinded. You won't be able to see where you're going. Procrastination. Oh boy. That's another one. Peggy's looking at me. She knows me pretty good. But procrastination affects your vision. It affects your vision. Past failures are nothing more than gifts of experience. If you have the right perspective. Past failures are nothing more than gifts of experience. Opinions of others are enemies of your vision. We got to get over what other people are saying to us, right? And we got to know what God is saying to us. All right. Success. Success in your vision can be your enemy. Success. When David was successful in defeating those Amorites and all those other those armies, he sat down and he was looking. He said, now you go on and fight. I'm staying here today. I'm staying here at the crib, and we're going to strap up, and I'm going to relax, and, you know, I've done my part. You go on out and fight. You go fight the fight today. He stayed home, and he got to looking, and he saw Bathsheba. He saw her, and then sin got a hold of him. You see that? But he was comfortable in his past successes. When you get comfortable in your past successes, you are looking for trouble. I'll tell you what, no matter what happened today, tomorrow's another day. You got to get up and get moving. Am I making sense? And you got to keep on keeping on. And true vision will keep you moving. Now watch this. Tradition is one of the enemies of vision. Tradition. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. Tradition is one of the biggest enemies of your vision. Paul said in Colossians 2:8, he said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. See, traditions will cheat you. They'll cheat you of what God really has for you. When you get caught up in something that everybody's done, and always done it that way, that has the ability to cheat you from what God really has for you. And it restricts your creativity. It restricts your creativity. Remember when Samson defeated the Philistines, the 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone? The jawbone really represents tradition. And what did he do? The Bible says he threw it out. After he defeated you know what we would do with that jawbone? We would patent it. We would call up and start church growth programs around the jawbone, and we'd tell everybody, we'd write a book about the jawbone, and we'd, you know, put out everything about the jawbone. But you see, it's just tradition. You see that? God has wants to anoint you and something creativity in you. And tradition, just get rid of it. Am I making sense? Huh? Oh. Wrong environments. The environments you... Well, we're getting out of time, aren't we? Hang with me. I got a couple more and we'll be done. Comparison with others. We need to stop comparing ourselves with others. We need to stop comparing ourselves with others. Competition. You know what? When you know you have a true vision, it brings security. It makes you secure. You're not going to compete with anybody because competition is one of the enemies of your vision. If you're always competing with somebody, you're lacking in your vision. I'm not concerned about their becoming better preachers in this church than me. I want to raise them up. I want to raise up a better preacher than me. Am I making sense? I'm not worried about competing because I know who I am. You see, when you know who you are and you're secure in who you are, you're not worried about competing. You're worried about helping others get to where they're supposed to be. Am I making sense? And that's when you have a true vision, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Helping others get to their place. Social pressure is one of your enemies. We need to quit being concerned about pleasing other people. Paul said, if I was still still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of Christ. All right. Well, Daryl, why don't you come up, and we're going to sing this song, and then I got something I want to ask you, and then we'll close.